Good evening. I hope you had a good day. And turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Go back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read verse 1 to 10. Ephesians 1, chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we may walk in them. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come before you and want to acknowledge that our minds often wander and struggle to focus and concentrate when your word is being preached and taught. And Lord, it's easy to be distracted. So I just pray that you will cause each one of us to be focused, to be in tune with what's going on. And pray, Lord, that may we not just fulfill the program. May we not just tick it off as part of the program as camp. For we have a sermon at night. But may you cause each one of us to realize that this is your word. And may we seek to hear you speak and apply this word to our lives. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, we answered the question, who am I? And we saw that we are sinners by nature. All of us are born sinners. That is our nature. And until each one of us comes to that point where we acknowledge that we are actually sinners, we cannot truly be saved. We cannot truly become children of God. Because unless someone acknowledges that they are sick, they will not desire to see a doctor. Unless someone acknowledges that they actually have a problem, that you actually have an injury, you won't want to see our brother Felix there, our camp doctor. It's only when you acknowledge that you are actually feeling pain that you will see the need for a doctor and actually ask for help. So unless you come to terms with the fact that you are a sinner and you are dead in your sins and you are controlled by the devil and you are contaminated in every way and everything that you do, everything about you is sinful, you cannot truly be saved. You cannot truly become a child of God. And we are living in a world where we are actually taught that we are not bad. We are all good. It's such an environment. It's such your background. You actually are okay. You're actually a good person. In fact, all of us think we're actually good. In fact, we even say, you know what, I'm better than that one. I'm okay, I'm decent. That's not God's evaluation of us. God says we are sinners. And that's where we need to begin. And as I said this morning, what we saw was bad news. I mean, we ended with the fact that the wrath of God is upon us. We are in danger. We are doomed. But verse 4 says, but God. I mean, it's bad news. We are in trouble. We are doomed. We are in a miserable position. We are in a miserable state. And we desperately need to be helped. We desperately need to be rescued. And you should thank God that verse 4 is there. That Ephesians 2 doesn't end at verse 3. You should thank God that there is verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Because it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. So this evening, I would like us to see how that we can be saved. Yes, we are sinners by nature, but we can become saved sinners. We can become a new creation. We can be God's children. And all this is because of the grace of God. So we are in a miserable position, desperately needing to be rescued, and God rescues us by his grace. And notice what the Bible says. The first thing he does is he makes us alive. He says, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ Jesus. Remember we are under a death sentence. We are dead in our sins. Totally, what was the definition of death? What is death? What other word did we use? Separation. Totally separated from God. But God makes us alive. Brings us back to life, or gives us life. So while we were dead in our sins, I mean, someone who's dead can't do anything. Totally unable. I mean, no matter what you do, when someone is dead, they are dead. I mean, even though we fear our corpses, when someone is dead, they are gone. It's just a dead body. You can kick them all you want. They will never respond. But God makes us alive. He brings us back to life. He bridges the gap. We were totally separated from him and totally unable, but he brings us back to life. And notice it says, because of his rich in mercy, and the idea there is he takes pleasure in saving, takes pleasure in rescuing you. He comes up with a plan. Just as he came up with a plan to create, he comes up with a plan to save you. You are not saved because you are clever. You are not saved because you are good. You are not saved because you are okay. You are not saved because you are cool. You are saved because of God's mercy. By his mercy, and his rich in mercy, he takes pleasure in saving us, in rescuing us from our miserable state. So it says, rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he loved us, he brings us back to life. He gives us life, and life eternal. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life, and have life in abundance. He gives you life. And this is all because of his mercy. And mercy is withholding the punishment that someone deserves. But it also means to rescue someone who is in a miserable, desperate condition. And that's what God does. He looks down and he sees all of us, wicked sinners. And he says, I will rescue them. But it also says, because of his great love, he made us alive. Now, this word is totally misused. Totally misused. I mean, it has even lost meaning. We love everything, you know. We love everything, and everyone loves everyone. You know. 9-year-olds are in love these days. It's chaotic. I mean, I just love. Everything is I love. And generally, what we mean when we say I love, you basically mean you feel something funny in you, you know. So today you love someone and tomorrow you don't love them. You know, I just love this movie. I just love. You know, it's just love. Oh, love. But he loves me. Oh, love. And we keep saying love, 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 love. That it has actually lost its meaning. And generally when we talk about love, you and I love because we are going to benefit. I mean, our love is very self-centered. Okay? Human love is very selfish. It's self-centered. You love what is going to benefit you. Okay? But that's the way it is. That's how we love. It's very selfish, very self-centered. We will only love what benefits us, what will please us. It's what, okay? What am I going to get out of it? So you will love a movie because you enjoy it. Okay, have you ever loved a boring movie? So this movie is boring, but I just love it. Okay? We don't love things that don't benefit us. We love people who are of benefit to us. Yeah, so those people tell you I love you. Yeah, they get something. That's the way it is. Sorry to break your hearts. Okay? But that's the way it is. That's human. That's how bad we are. When a boy tells a girl, let me just break it to you girls. When a boy comes up to you and says, I love you, what he's basically saying is, hanging out with you is going to be of great benefit to me. I'm sorry. Okay? So don't be cheated. Okay, when he says, oh, I just love you, you know, he's just saying, please say yes, because you see, it will be to my benefit. If we hang out, okay, that's the way you and I love. We love because we are getting something out of it. But not God. God is rich. I mean, he's rich in love, rich in mercy, and his love is so great. And his love is unconditional and sacrificial. It's loving in spite of the person. Yeah, I mean, God is not looking down and saying, okay, so let's see who's lovable, okay. No. Yeah. This guy is cool. Come. I love you. Yeah, that's not the way God loves. I mean, if God loved that way, we would all go to hell. No one would ever be saved because no one is lovable. But God's love is the kind of love that looks down and says, these people are sinful. These people are rebellious. These people are hostile to me. These people don't worship me. These people disregard me. But I'm still going to love them. Love them to the point of sending my own son to die for them so that I can have a relationship with them. That is God's love. Let me illustrate it this way, and it doesn't even come close. It's like going into town, and you've seen those people who are mentally not okay, they've gone mad, they are dirty, I mean, they've not had a bath for years. They are scruffy, dirty, thinking, I mean the level of debt on them, it's developed several layers on top of their skin, you know. And they actually sit, they sit on a rubbish heap and they are picking rotten food, you know. So a guy picks a rotten tomato and, you know, it's rotten and there are worms in it and I mean, it smells and there are flies going all over it and all over his face. And this guy picks the tomato and you know, the gross, stinking, rotten juice is flowing down his beard and there are flies on his... And it's okay! You know, he's totally unlovable. And then you go to that guy and say, hey, Mwana, come stay with me. I'll share a room with you. Come. You'll become part of the family. That is unconditional sacrificial love. That guy doesn't deserve it. You don't have to, but you choose to. And here's the thing, his mentor, he might break everything in the house and just say, okay, still love you. That's exactly what God did. How many times do we sin against God? Every day. How many times do we honor God? Rarely. How many times do we break His words? Every day. How many times do we disobey Him? Every day. How many times do we reject His existence? We basically live as though God doesn't exist. Every day. But do you know what He still says? Come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. He's saying that every day. That's the love of God. That's His great love and rich in mercy, that He actually came down and suffered at the hands of the people that He had created and died for them, so that you and I, who are sinners and who deserve God's wrath, may actually be saved from our sins and have a relationship with God. So He's saying, but God made us alive, gave us life eternal. That's the first thing He did. He made us alive. And not only did He make us alive, not only does He give us life eternal, but notice, He also lifts us up. It says in verse 6, and He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a lot that can be said, but it's enough to say now that he lifts us up. I mean, you've heard of that verse, He picks me up from the miry clay and sets me upon the rock. He lifts us up. I mean, we basically become His children. We become heirs in His kingdom. And here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, here's what happens. What happens when you believe in Jesus Christ, when you are saved from your sins. The sins of Christ are not the sins of Christ. Your sins your sins are placed on Christ. I mean, that's what He did on the cross. He took up our sins, and His righteousness is placed on us. And when God looks at someone who has believed in Jesus Christ, repented of their sins, He sees the righteousness of Christ in you. And He raises us up in the heaven, and we are seated with Christ, it says, in the heavenly places. That's God's rescue mission. Now here's the thing. You need to remember, it's not that God was sad and lonely and said, oh no, people have turned against me, so we need to make up with people, and you know, just people, please come to me, please, you know, otherwise, you know, things will be bad, I'll be alone in heaven, so just come, you know, I desperately need you. God does not need any of us. No, I mean, he doesn't. If all of us decided right now, okay, enough, this God business, forget. God, we are not interested, take no more. God would not, I mean, he just would go, things are bad, they've revolted, they've stopped. He would say, okay. Because he doesn't need any of us. But he still saves us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That he saves us, though he doesn't need us. And he actually suffered. I mean, Christ suffered on our behalf. And all because of his rich mercy and great love. And notice why he does it. Verse 7. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's short form of saying so that he may receive the praise. So that he may be glorified. So that he may be praised. Here's what happens when a sinner is actually saved. There is a great change that takes place. There is a transformation that takes place. I mean, there is a great change. We used to sing the song, there's a great change since I've been born again. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The things I used to love, I don't love them anymore. Such that when people look at you and your transformed life and the way you are living, they say, God is great. He saved that one. God is great. That's how God has designed salvation, such that he alone receives the praise. And a person who is genuinely saved will always be saying, what a great God. I thank God. I thank God that he saved me. I thank God that he saved me. Because you see, they know that he paid a debt they could not pay. And they owed a debt that they could never pay. And they needed someone to wash their sins away. And that's exactly what Christ. So you remain indebted. You say, like Isaac Watts, love so amazing, so divine, demands my love, my soul, my all. Because you are saying, how? I don't deserve this. What an amazing God. And God ends up receiving the praise. But not only that. When people are saved, they begin to worship him. They begin to serve him. They begin to live for him. And who is receiving the glory? God. That's why he saved us. So that he might receive the glory. So it's very... It's in contradiction with the Bible. A Christian who doesn't live to God's glory. A Christian who doesn't please God. Because the whole reason God saved you is so that he might receive the glory. And then you are living to your own glory. I mean, it's in contradiction
For a Christian to be proud and arrogant, because you know what pride is? Pride is the highest anti-God state. I mean, pride is basically saying, I am God. That's what pride is. Pride is saying, I do not need anyone. I am self-sufficient. So for a Christian, I mean, it's like, you remember the madman I talked about? It's like you go pick up that guy, dress him up, clean him up, give him a home, and then he starts saying, us we are people.
I mean, we've survived. You know? I mean, look at how I'm doing, look at where I am.
You start saying, hey woman, well, what's wrong with you? Where's your humility? You're very ungrateful. I picked you from the rubbish pit. I brought you in the home. Now because you are living in the streets of long acres, you start thinking you are the one who's done this. I mean, you even take him to school. He passes grade 4, goes to UNSA, graduates, gets a job, and he starts saying, you see, we've made it.
You know?
We've made it. We are, I'm the man. You will say, no, he's truly mine. Right? Right? You will say, no. There is no way such a person can go around boasting. Because he was picked when he didn't deserve it. But you know, that's exactly what we do with God. He says that. I mean, we're doomed, we're dead, we're desperate. He says that. And then we start walking around. Yeah, as we are holy, as we are humble, we're just cool. I mean, even when we are serving him with a sense of pride. We want people to be saying, well done. Yeah, well done. You saved that camp, well done, well done. You're the one, well done. Right? And God is saying, what has happened? You've forgotten where I took you from. Did you know what the Apostle Paul said? I am what I am, but by the grace of God. And if you are saved, you have been saved, you've been truly saved from your sins. Oh, you know that you can never be too grateful to God. You know you have no reason to boast. Your life will give God the praise and the glory. And then just in case you don't get it, Paul says it in clear terms in verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith. I mean, it's God's own doing. You've been saved by God's grace. I mean, that's the only way you can be saved. So if you are, if this morning when we were describing the nature of man and you're saying, that's me, listen, there is only one way you can be saved. That is by grace, the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Chapwa. Nothing else. It's not enough that you go to church. It's not enough that your parents are Christians. It's not enough that your parents are faithful Christians. It's not enough that you do something in church. It's not enough until you've actually been saved by believing in Jesus Christ and repenting from your sins. So he says, by grace you've been saved through faith. And then he says, not of yourselves. Now, if he ended there, it would be very clear. It would be very clear that you have nothing. It's not your doing. But, you know, because we have a problem with understanding, he adds the next phrase. It is a gift of God. I mean, that obviously should be clear, but he still doesn't end there. He adds another phrase. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Here's what Paul is saying.
God does the entire work of salvation. I mean, he makes you alive. So that even though you've heard the message over and over and over and over and over, and it doesn't touch you, it doesn't move you, there is one day when it actually grips you and you say, that's me. Same message, you've heard it over and over and over, and you actually know it. But there's that one day when your eyes suddenly open and you're like, aha, I see it. It's me. I'm a sinner. You know what has just happened? God has made you alive. He's opened your eyes. And wonder, it's a gift. It's a gift of God. Lest anyone should boast. And then, when that takes place in your life, when you experience God's saving grace, when you experience salvation, when you get to that point where you actually see the but God, you know, you see the fact that you are a sinner, and you see that you are a slave to sin, and you see that no matter how much you try, there is nothing you can do about your sin, then you hear the good news. The good news that God is rich in mercy and has great love and sent His Son to come and die for us, and when you believe in Him, He gives you the gift of eternal life, and you become a changed person. You become a new creation, and you begin to live for Him. And verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in Him, in them. When God created Adam and Eve, He said they were supposed to do good works. Then they sinned. And that just affected everything. And we were born sinners and aliens and separated from God. But when you are born again, by the grace of God, through faith in Christ Jesus, you then can do good works. Which is why God created us. You remember the purpose He created us for? So here's the thing. If you are actually not saved, you are not fulfilling the purpose for your existence. You are not living the way God intended you to. Because God intended that the way we live our lives should give Him the praise and the glory. And when people look at us, they just say, we thank God. We thank God for Him. We thank God for her. Because he is a child of God. I mean, the grace of God is in her, is in Him. And she lives. I mean, everything she does is to God's glory. Everything He does is to God's glory. And every day, good works are part and parcel of their life. Is that true of you? Is that true? I mean, if someone was dead and they became alive, would you think you would notice? Huh? I mean, if someone died, I mean, they are gone, dead, and then they suddenly come back to life. Do you think you would notice? Yes? No? You are asleep? Yes, you are asleep. Okay, good. You would notice, right? I mean, it would be very obvious. If someone is dead and they come back to life, I can assure you, you would. In fact, if I died, I dropped dead, and you know, Dr. Felix there said, okay, the brother is dead, he's gone. And then suddenly I come back to life. I mean, you do scamper. Okay. That's how much, I mean, it's noticeable. Now, do you know the problem with us Christians today?
We kept going around claiming we were dead, but now we are alive. And it's hard to notice. Huh? We kept saying, you know what? I was a sinner, but now I'm actually a Christian. I'm saved. And people are saying, oh, you are saved. When? Yesterday? No, I was actually saved 2 years ago. 2 years ago! So all this time you've been saved? Oh, yes. Which salvation? Because guys, listen. The salvation of the Bible is radical. It's radical. I mean, it's like someone who has surgery on their face. I mean, they just change their face radically. You will notice. You will not. If I'm coming to you, I say, you know what? I had said that this morning they changed my face, and then you're saying, where? then there's a problem. There's a problem. Just as there is a problem when you are going around claiming you are a Christian and people are saying, what kind? How? Because a person who is dead and is made alive will be clearly evident. So, is your Christianity evident? Can you answer the who am I question and confidently with a clear conscience say, I am a saved sinner. I was dead, but now I'm alive. And I am now a new creation. Because that's what we can become by believing in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, search our hearts, cause us to reflect on our lives, and see if this truth, this glorious good news, is true of us. That we were dead, but now we are alive. I pray, may that be true of each one of us. Amen. Amen.